I mentioned to you before we went on the air that the question that jumped out at me apparently is not a question you, that you haven't heard before. Who was harder to deal with, the Russians or the Senate?
they certainly both present a unique set of challenges, to be sure. I think it was, it's interesting, I think, working with foreign governments, learning sort of their equities, their perspectives, how they come to the negotiating table. And really the same lessons can be applied when going to the table with the Senate to seek advice and consent for ratification of a major treaty. They have their own concerns, and reasonable minds can always differ on important questions of foreign policy.
The abstract about your listing as a finalist in this says that you played a key role in the negotiation and ratification of the New START nuclear arms control treaty, drafting portions of the accord, providing legal advice to negotiators, and offering solutions during the tense U.S. Senate ratification debate. The discussions that went on with the Russian government, I imagine, are very complex. But the part of this that jumped out at me that I thought was really interesting was, it says, after negotiations were completed, Dean worked to complete a transmittal package for the U.S. Senate, finding creative ways to address senatorial concerns while protecting presidential prerogatives. When I think of a transmittal package in the non-government sense, it sounds like you just typed up a bunch of papers, and I have a really hard time believing that that's what a transmittal package involved here.
Well, it's an interesting part of the treaty-making process that I think not a whole lot of people get a chance to be exposed to. Once the executive branch concludes negotiations, and in this case, the president has signed the treaty, the president then has to present the treaty for advice and consent to the Senate. And it's not simply a forwarding of the document. As you point out, there are several steps that have to be taken, and generally a fairly extensive analysis is prepared by the State Department that goes along with the treaty when it's forwarded to the Senate. It's sort of called an article-by-article analysis or a transmittal package. In this case, it was several hundred pages long and contained some detailed explanations of the treaty's provisions. It also, during the course of the ratification debate, there are several hearings and, in this case, over 1,000 questions for the record that were prepared as a follow-up measure to those hearings that all of the executive branch policymakers and lawyers had to work carefully on.
There was a period of time where passage of this treaty, where consent to this treaty in the Senate was a big question mark. People were not sure what was going to happen. Ultimately, the final vote was 71-26, not even close. What do you think happened over the period of time that you were involved with the Senate and staff there to give them comfort that this was not going to dramatically impact our ability to defend ourselves with missiles?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. And, I think a lot of the answer is that the team that worked on the advice and consent process from the executive branch for this treaty really, I think, did a very very good and careful job in taking concerns seriously, in really digging into the material, and when explanations were asked for by senators and interested staff, of taking those concerns very seriously and putting as much hard work as possible into getting an answer that was responsive and helpful. I think the treaty ultimately sold itself to a large degree, and I think it was a very carefully worked on accord that I think was the result of many people spending many months and even years putting careful thought into, to make sure that it was something that we would be proud to take to the Senate for its advice and consent.
The synopsis about your work, again from servicetoamericametals.org, which we have linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, says after the vote, Dean worked closely with his Russian counterparts to help ensure approval by the Russian legislature. Again, he worked to alleviate Russian concerns, answering questions about the tough debate on Capitol Hill and some amendments that were made to the Senate's resolution resolution of advice and consent. I'm picturing you in a meeting with your counterparts on the Russian side, having to explain to them essentially what went on in Washington, why things broke the way they did, and exactly what's different and why you're having to explain to them why things are different.
Yeah, Francis, that's exactly right. It was, as you point out, a very vigorous debate in December of 2010 on the floor of the Senate, and there was a lot of very high profile attention to the treaty, and the Russians were certainly paying close attention to all of that. And so, after the Senate voted as it did to give advice and consent, the action then moved to the Russian ratification process, and they had a lot of questions. And I think we used the same careful, meticulous, and thorough approach that we used with the Senate to explain the procedural posture to the Russians, so that they could go back to their Duma and Federation Council and pitch the treaty as well.
Talk about the effect, as we're getting close to the 10th anniversary of 9/11, that's had on your career choices.
Huh, that's an interesting question. I was in Washington, and I was working for a law firm in town, and I very, very distinctly remember sort of having a feeling that, I wanted to be involved in foreign policy. I wanted to be involved in government service. Those were pretty interesting times. At an early opportunity, I wanted to, take part in that very important public debate on the issues that were confronting this country after 9/11, not the least of which were very important foreign policy concerns. And so I felt like, I was, interested in having a role in that policy process.